Marketing Support Network is proud to serve the nonprofit community by offering full-service contact center, fulfillment, digital marketing, and fundraising services. Your vision is our mission, and we can't wait to partner with you. Visit marketingsupportnetwork.com for more information.
Well, welcome back to the Nonprofit Hub podcast. I'm your host, Megan Spear, and I am joined today by Ben Smithy. Super excited to have him here. Ben is the head of the Smithy Group, and I'm excited for the insight and wisdom that he brings to the industry, especially around creativity and branding and identity and making people make decisions because of those things and moving people to action. So he's got so much to share with us. I'm really excited about this conversation. So Ben, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Excited to chat.
So some of you, if you were at CauseCamp, obviously you have seen Ben present.
What's
Ben,
CauseCamp?
Give us a little bit of, come back to CauseCamp. In October. We're real excited.
Let's do it.
Ben, tell us a little bit about your background in working with nonprofits in general and a little bit about what your role is now.
Yeah, for sure. So I have a growth marketing agency that's 50% research and consumer insights and understanding what, you know, causes people to click and tick and buy and all those things. And then the other half is a digital agency where we focus on content creation, growth marketing, paid advertising, media, you name it. It's a full service ad agency. You know the drill there. We work both in for-profit and nonprofit. And then we partner with companies with TSG as part of the platform company for part of a portfolio of either partial equity companies or wholly owned companies that we partner with or acquire or help grow along the way, mainly through marketing and advertising. And then for nonprofits, serve on the board of a few, obviously have a few as clients and love the space. If I could do just nonprofit work, I would do it.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, good. So I want to focus, or let's start, I guess, our conversation today around this idea of creativity, because I think something that you and I have talked about before is the distinction between creativity and creative.
Yes.
And one being an idea and one being a deliverable. So talk to me a little bit about what creative actually entails and what it looks like for a nonprofit.
Yeah. So I think to talk about creative, you have to talk about the difference of creative versus art, because art can be anything we want. Art can be whatever the artist or the creator wants it to be, right? Without any other purpose other than this is what I intended it to be. Creative doesn't have that luxury. Creative has to solve a problem, has a purpose, has a goal, has some sort of measurement behind it, and it has a plan attached to it. Otherwise, you aren't creating creative, you're just creating art. And art can either be moving or not, but creative doesn't have that option. Creative has to do something. And so I think that's the first distinction we need to make for people is like, okay, what are we talking about when we talk about creative? The second thing I think about is most people talk about creative and creativity as like this starting point. But the way we look at it is in a process in the process of brand development and brand, what we call brand impact. It's a framework that we have. And if you look at it that way, creative is actually almost all the way down the funnel in the process map of that versus at the very, very beginning. So maybe we start by talking about that process and what leads to creative, and then we can dive in a little bit more on creative.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. Because I think so often we get caught up in the, like, it has to look beautiful. We want to make it look, you know, like art to an extent. But if it's not doing anything to your point, then what is the point? Like,
yeah, I've seen really beautiful pieces that cause nobody to donate. And I've seen really artistically not my style that have been really great optimizations. So it's not just an aesthetic. It has to fulfill a purpose. It has to do something. So like we use it as part of what we call a brand impact framework. And it's an acrostic for intelligent, meaningful, powerful, active, creative, and then trustworthy. And if you notice, like I said, creative is like way down the line.
Yeah.
It starts with intelligence, meaning if creative has to do something or get someone to do something or feel something or opt into something, take some sort of action, you have to know who you're talking to. And so intelligence, yes. You start with intelligence. Who am I trying to reach, right? What do they look like, sound like, feel like, all those things? What are their problems? Like, what are their pain points? What are their problems, pain points, wants, desires? Where do they go to dream, laugh, all those things, right? Intelligence. And if you gather, I'm going to fly through this. So we could spend 5 hours on each of these things. And today we have data, we have research, we have all these things to gather intelligence, right? If we do a good job of building intelligence, then we can take our brand to be meaningful. And that's the M and impact. What do I mean by meaningful? Meaningfulness is magnified through context, which is created through intelligence, right? If I know about you and I know that you love football and the Steelers versus the Cowboys, which is a poor choice, but a choice
nonetheless. We'll let that slide for right now.
Then I know that I can create a meaningful gift for you by sending you something that is Steelers related versus my own preference, which I'm talked about is just the Cowboys, right? It's a very simplistic, watered down example. But if you think about it, how many times do we start building swag that we think is cool or lumpy mail that we think is cool versus what is going to be meaningful to the person we're trying to reach based on the intelligence we've gathered about them, right? So if we can create enough context, we can create meaning in somebody's life or in that relationship. If we create enough, in order to create meaning, we have to be active, meaning we have to be out there and putting stuff out there in the world. You can be creative, and this is the difference between a really great creative idea versus a great execution. Most brands out there today, most organizations out there today are not active enough. Excuse me, I skipped one, which was powerful. Backtrack. powerful. If you're meaningful enough, if you create enough meaning for someone, right, an impact, the P is in power, meaning I've created enough meaning. So now I have a powerful enough relationship that I can either ask for something from you or give you something and ask you to do something with it. Meaning, hey, come to my event. Hey, attend this webinar. Hey, open my mail. Hey, open my email. Hey, click like on this post, follow us, whatever it may be. And ultimately, hey, give us money, right? Contribute to our cause. If I'm in order to be powerful, then I need to be active to do something with that, right? I need to be out there in the space. And a lot of organizations aren't active enough. They really effectively are the friend in need, meaning my activity is once a year when I send out my annual report and my big, you know, Giving Tuesday or end of year campaign. And so is that really active? No, that's very, very like asking, right? Activity is more than just asking. You're making the ask, but there's no active and nurturing before that. And I said all of that to get back to creative, which means like, once I'm active, then I have to be creative, which is I have to use all of that intelligence and meaningfulness and powerfulness and activity to create something that is going to stop the scroll, right? Mm-hmm. And I think creativity, where we're talking about this as an organization, then maps to, again, those need states of a customer or a consumer or a person, a human, right? I think if you're in marketing, we're in a human business, right? If you're in marketing and advertising, it's a human science. So we have to be people first. And like I said, all of that leads up to creative or creativity. We have to be focusing on where that human is in the process. And if you look at any organization, any business, for profit or nonprofit, they all follow the same simple steps. So if you're a marketer, advertiser, executive director, you carry all those titles, I'll give you something that's going to like help solve all your problems right here. And it's the most simplistic form. We call it the sort of the golden triangle, but it's essentially a pyramid of four steps and states of being. And it's unaware, aware, info seeking, and then purchasing or donating or whatever it may be, converting, right? Ready to do something, ready to act. I'd say that when you look at it, 60% of people are unaware, and you're given target audience, they're unaware that they have a need, want, desire, problem, whatever, right?
Yeah.
20% are aware and just not yet ready to do something. 17% are info seeking, meaning they're actively trying to make a decision of where they're going to donate, who they're going to give money to, who they're going to support. And then 3% are ready to just click the donate button right now. Most of the time, our creative and marketing focuses on the top and the bottom of that pyramid. The 3% of people that are ready to hit, Exactly. Ready to hit donate now. And the 60% that are just completely unaware. So we do that. What we don't do a good job of is building creative on the people that are aware and get them to be interested enough to seek more information, and the people that are info seeking to then make a decision. And I think that's where we could spend the majority of our conversation today, is talking about like, how do we be creative in that space?
Well, and I want to take a step zooming back because, oh my gosh, that was so much good information to just take in. But I want to go back to something you said at the beginning, because we can't focus on the middle if we don't know who those people are.
Yes.
And I think that that is a key step that I feel like a lot of our nonprofit friends miss a lot, is understanding who that audience is, what those pain points are, but not even necessarily the pain points. To use your example, right? Do I know what their favorite football team is? Do I know what they're actually passionate about? Have I bothered to even understand where they gave? Did they just come to a golf outing? Did they give online? Did they do it in honor of somebody or in memory of somebody because they asked them to? Where does the passion come from to give? And if we're not even paying attention and listening to those things and able to segment out who that audience is, then it's hard to get to that golden triangle and understand who is in the middle. So I don't want to brush over that point, because I think making sure that an emphasis on listening and on getting to know your audience is a critical piece to this process.
And I will say, the very, very few absolute statements probably either one of us will make today, is that absolutely today there is no excuse for not knowing a little bit more than you do right now about your target audience, your donor,
I would agree with that.
Constituents, all of that. We live in the world of Web3, which is the democratization of media, I mean, in data, right? Yeah. In the world, right? We've experienced the whole Web2, which is the democratization of going from the internet to consume, but the internet to create, right? That's the evolution between Web1 and Web2. And Web2 to Web3 is the democratization of data, right? Using data to be intelligent. So, and it can be as simple as, like, you don't have to get super scientific about it, right? Like, just send a SurveyMonkey survey to your email list. Like, what questions are you asking them?
Like, exactly. People, what do you know about
them? Pay attention to. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what do you know about them? What's one thing you could do this week, if you're listening to this? What's one thing you can do this week to learn a little bit more about the people that you are trying to move up that consumer journey? Write that down and just do it. And
just,
if you just
do it.
Pause the webinar right here and you go do that and come back, like, you'll have already gotten your money's worth.
Yeah, made it. This free podcast will have been totally worth it if you do that one thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so good. Now that we've got that established, that really struck me as you said it, as an important piece. So I didn't want to gloss over that part.
Literally the first step.
Yeah, we got to make sure that first piece is in line.
At Marketing Support Network, we are proud to support nonprofits by providing top-tier customer service solutions for your donors. Live U.S.-based agents are able to assist your callers by phone, email, website live chat, or social media response 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. From taking donations to updating records, answering questions to placing orders, let Marketing Support Network help you take donor care to the next level. Visit marketingsupportnetwork.com for more information.
So let's assume that everyone paused the podcast, did that thing, and now they know more about their audience.
Welcome back to the podcast.
I'm Megan Spear here with Ben Smithy, part two. Let's assume that that's where we are in this process. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about those middle pieces, right? We assume that somebody's at least aware of the organization and what you do, or they're in that fact finding. What's the next approach?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah. Think about it as any other decision. Like, I may have seen your brand, and let's assume that moving from unawareness to aware is aware of what you do and who you are. your value proposition. Okay. Let's use marketing terms. Your value proposition, right? I understand your brand in the sense of like, I know your value prop, what your claim to fame is, right? I say that because if you watch any fast food commercial or any like just brand commercial, most of the time you're going to know what the call sign is, what the value proposition, what the big brand promise is after watching the commercial, if it's a good commercial, right?
Sure.
So let's assume that's moving from unaware to aware. But from there, the next thing that we have to do as marketers is the RTBs. Like if you go back in the old school advertising, it's like, okay, what's the value proposition? And then what's the RTBs? And the RTBs are reasons to believe, right? What are the reasons to believe that? Because I don't care enough based on your slogan. I may remember it, but it doesn't mean that I care, right?
Sure.
To build true awareness is not just awareness of the value prop, but I believe awareness is aware enough of understanding what are the reasons to believe that so that I'm interested enough to then do the info seeking to either find out if it's true, find out if it fits me, or find out if, oh, I got the little thumbs up bubble on the, or find out if there's someone else doing it better or differently than I am. And that moves them from aware to info seeking. But I think first is, so from unaware to aware is thinking, okay, they know my value prop, but do they know all the things to back it up? And then do they know it enough to either cause some doubt?
Right.
Or
to cause
some interest to find out more? Do I want to get involved to like, how do I get involved, or what are ways I can get involved, or where does this money go? That means I'm interested enough to give some money. So where does this money go? Right. That's the info seeking phase moving from there. And then an info seeking is like, okay, let's make it easy. Let's put it all out there. We're in the age of transparency, right?
Yes.
Like it used to be like, if Google can't find you, you don't exist. Well, now it's like, if I can't find it on your landing page, then it's a lie or you're trying to hide something from me. So just like blatant transparency out there of what you do, those reasons to believe, videos, all that type of stuff. That's where creative becomes taking all the questions that you have and reverse engineering that into great content.
I love that. I think I told you before, I received a direct mail piece this year at year end from an organization that I had supported in honor of a friend's mother who had passed away a couple years ago. And they sent a year-end piece probably 5 years ago, maybe the first time that I donated, that I thought, wow, this is a really well-designed piece. To your point, it's beautifully done. It is artistically well-designed in that form of creativity. But now they've sent it to me 5 years in a row. And nothing about this piece has changed. And I think about that when you talk about, like, do I believe that what you're saying is true? In my info gathering, am I intrigued enough to see if what you're actually saying is true? And to be honest, at this point, I'm not. You've told me nothing new in the last 5 years. And so even the, like, we've helped this many people. Mm-hmm. Okay, but 5 years ago, you did that. What have you done since then? What does that look like? I think that's such a critical piece. And that is, transparency does matter.
Yeah. And look,
because donors aren't dumb.
Exactly. And it's totally okay. If you don't ever want to change your creative, that's totally okay. As long as your marketing,
as long as
changing.
It does something.
But great. Guess what? You're marketing to humans and every human changes. So
yes,
you better change your creative, you know?
Yes.
And I think the other thing is, and I get to a certain extent, like I get tired of talking about this particular thing I'm about to say, but it does impact. Like if you haven't changed your approach in the past few years from like a pre-digital COVID impact, all these things, like people changed dramatically. When you look at COVID, when you look at elections, when you look at all these things, people's prioritization have shifted, their ideologies and their thesis on how they give, who they give to, their qualifications for that, all that stuff has changed. So therefore, your messaging, your marketing, your creative, I'm not saying your mission as an organization has to change. That's not what we're saying. But the way that you package that up to tell the story hits on different priorities for people today than they were for sure pre-2020.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I want to focus on moving that second tier, right? Because ultimately that's the goal. We want to take those people who are in the info seeking phase and get them to click that donate button. So assuming that we've done the thing where we figured out who they are and we understand
what their passion points are. We know them a little. Mm-hmm. We have some more data and some more intelligence around that. What are some things to consider as you are looking at, from, again, back to the creative approach? We want creative that's going to move people to do something. Mm-hmm. What are the things that need to be considered there to get people to make, like, to move that forward?
Yep. I think about it in sort of like head, heart, hand, right?
Okay.
So you are generally focusing on three types of movers: people that are motivated intellectually or like triggered intellectually, people that are triggered emotionally, or people that are triggered like physically through things. So if you can focus your messaging, once they get to the info seeking standpoint, you need to focus on delivering to those three type of activation points, right? Knowledge based. What is the stuff that shows them you know what you're doing, you know what you're going to be doing with this investment into your organization, right? This donation in your organization. You know what the future market is going to need. You know where the organization is going to go based on what that future market is going to need, who you serve, right? All of those knowledge points. We know who we are. We know where the future is. We know what the people that we serve are going to need in the future. And we know how we're going to do it really well. Right. And then heart, the heartstrings, like what do you care about as a consumer? What do the people that we serve care about? Right. Mm-hmm. And so what do you care about as a donor base? And what do the people that we serve care about? Right. And start speaking to those heart options, right? Those emotive based things, right? How are we serving different? A lot of those are the hows, right? How are we serving differently? How are we caring for people? How are we committed and living out our promise in those things? Those emotive activations, right? Those are probably testimonial videos. Those are probably, that's where you put in your SPCA in the arms of an angel song. Yes. Do that. And like, that's where we go with the emotive.
That's where we tug the heartstrings.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And also remember, joy and happiness is an emotion too. Celebration is an emotion, right? Let's celebrate how far we've come. And we came from being able to help 10 families a year to now we help 10,000 families. And that's something to be celebrated. And it's, I hope that you're jumping up and down in your seats celebrating that too when you receive this annual report, like whatever it may be, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is hand, is like helping them get involved. Some people are active. It's like, hey, it's an opportunity to get more involved with your hands this year, like attending these events, attending these, whatever it may be. If you're a community organization, these outreach programs, here's how you can volunteer your time as well as your dollars or those type of things. So how do we physically activate somebody? And I think those are the three areas that you can focus on when you're talking about that info seeker, because at that point, they're looking for things that either appeal when they're seeking information. It's either heart information, hand information, or head information, I believe.
Mm, that's a great takeaway. I love that. Okay. So let's jump all the way back to the initial question.
Yep.
When we're talking about creative that does something, not just looks pretty or is beautifully designed, but actually does something. Mm-hmm. Talk to me from your perspective a little bit about when we talk about some of the branding pieces of that, how all of those things work together. I think an issue that I've seen a lot of nonprofits run into is, you've got some development team who own the direct mail. And then you've got the intern who owns the social media, and you've got somebody else over here in the administrative office who is handling what goes on the website. Or like, what does that cohesive messaging look like? And what advice would you give to maybe some of those segmented teams about how to make sure that everything, that creativity is happening across the board and that messaging happens across the board?
That is the giant donut hole pitfall. Dangerous black hole where organizations fall apart. And it can happen in an organization of one because one person is just not thinking through all those facets, or it can happen in an organization of 100 because there's 10 different departments that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. So there has to be, and it starts with intentionality, meaning we know and we understand that it is important to have continuity of our brand throughout the entire organization. And I know that sounds so simplistic, but I don't think there's that commitment there for a lot of organizations first, because it means that if you are committed to that understanding and you all buy into that, then there needs to be some sort of dashboard, some sort of central truth that every employee that comes into the organization, every team member, understands the vision, mission, values of the organization, understands the guardrails of our lexicon as an organization, not just from a marketing standpoint, but internal as well. And then every donor understands that. So I would almost send every single like donor our brand guide to the extent. That's kind of dorky. I wouldn't actually do it, but right. Like they need to know the verbiage. Like I would almost send out cheat sheet cards to everyone that's donated is also probably an advocate. If I'm willing to give you my money, I'm probably willing to give you my voice. Right.
Sure.
So in that space, you give them something that gives them the lexicon of how to talk, a cheat sheet, an easy card of how to talk to their friends and family about why they support what you're doing, right? Their coworkers, all those things. And then I think that you have to have a system in place internally that allows for conversation between fundraising, marketing, customer service, care, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. Your program, whoever, if you were program services based, yes, those program managers and service managers, executive team, and anyone else, like whatever, if I'm missing a foundation, but for sure those groups to come together monthly, quarterly, but ideally monthly to have some sort of thing of like, here's what we're talking about right now. Here's what's important right now. Here's where we're going right now. Here's what we're talking about on social media and the messaging that's out there. Because I want to hear back. I want to know as a marketer, are we hearing that? Does that reach the streets? Are we hearing our donors talk back just about that? I want to hear from our special events team when they're going to these events. Are they hearing people talk about the messaging that we've been putting out there, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we have no real metric of how deep we're going or how much we're able to get our donors up that consumer journey pyramid.
That's great. Man, Ben, this has been full of all the good things. so much to unpack in here. Any final thoughts from you? Obviously, I love the idea of taking that break to go figure out who your donors are, who your audiences are, but then also just around the coordination of that. Any final thoughts or encouragements for those who are maybe in that one person shop? Because I think a lot of our audience tends to be from some of the smaller nonprofits, and they're listening to what you just said going, man, it would be great if I had all these people to get with me and get that out. But if you're talking about somebody that is kind of the one man show, any encouragement or kind of things that they should be thinking about?
We live in a world where both fortunately and unfortunately, coming even from a marketer, where like brand is almost everything. And brand separates that's the currency for the haves and the have nots in the future. We're in a space where AI, where data intelligence, where fly by night startup is easy. It's easy to go to market, start all these things, right? Like all these things, we're in an influx of information, brands, organizations, all those other things. Likely, if we're honest, there's five other, at least, if not 10, if not 100 other organizations that do something parallel to what you're doing. So the only thing that's going to separate you in the sea of sameness to the people that you're trying to target is brand. And the only way to have a powerful brand is to understand and use data. So I think if you focus on two areas of your organization, outside of the first thing is do the things that you say you're going to do, right?
Sure.
Operational excellence, service excellence, whatever that may be. Once you got that down, because most people probably have that down because that's why they're continuing to be existing, right? Once you are serving people the way that you promise you're serving people, then from there, it's brand and data. Consume data, build brand. Consume data, build brand. Consume data, build brand. If you're not making enough money, it's because your message is not clear enough to the people who you're trying to target. If you're not making the money that you want, man, this is a personal professional development. Sure. It's a for-profit, nonprofit thing. Like if you're not making enough money, it's because your message is not clear enough to the people that you're trying to make money from. And I think that if we're an organization that's trying to raise money, if we're not raising as much money as we need to, it's because we need to clarify our message and get our message out to enough people. Enough people just don't know about or know enough to care about what we're doing. And I know that sounds sad and it may sound blunt, but it's the truth. I think it comes down to that brand and messaging. So it's an important thing. And I think it's tough for people to spend money on, especially the nonprofit thing in the nonprofit space. It's tough. It feels like a weird thing to say that, right? It's like we invest in services and programs and all that type of stuff. And yes, you should, but if nobody knows about it or if nobody cares enough about it, then it's all for naught if you can't grow, right? So.
Great. Ben, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, so much wisdom. This has been a fantastic conversation. I really appreciate all of your insights. So, pleasure to have you. Thanks for joining us on the Nonprofit Hub podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See you at CauseCamp.